Chapter 22. So much for sibs. Well, so much for loyalty. Did she tell you where she was going? Mandy Sue demanded. Her hands fluttered. Everything happens to me. There'll be another investigation. All that paperwork. All those inspectors asking questions. Now calm down, Mandy Sue. That doesn't have to happen. Pete paced the floor of his office. I'm sure March doesn't want his sister to get in trouble. Do you, son? When they use the word son, start worrying.
No, sir.
Tell us about it. Did she run away? Pete asked. He gave the appearance of someone barely containing himself from leaping across the room and grabbing March by the throat. Tell us what you know.
I don't know anything.
Save it for someone who's stupid, Pete spit out.
I thought I just did, March said.
It took several long moments for Pete to comprehend that he'd been insulted. He'd pointed that crooked finger at March.
You are a troublemaker, he said. You're going to wind up just like your roommate.
Pete, what are you going to do? Mandy Sue wailed.
We're going to sit tight, that's what.
Chances are the little lady will realize how good she has it here at Polestar, and she'll find her way home. We'll think of a story and whatnot, and we'll tell you. March, and you'll stick to it. You hear me? Answer me.
Sure. I'll stick to the script.
Pete leaned over and fixed his bloodshot gaze on March.
You better be telling the truth. I got my eye on you.
March was heading up to bed the next evening when he heard the TV blaring the news. He stopped in his tracks outside the den when he heard the word heist. A penthouse robbery on the Upper East Side of New York was baffling police. A diamond and sapphire necklace and a moonstone ring had been stolen from television reporter Michelle Westlake. He stood watching the coverage, watching it the way Alfie would have watched it, for the details. Security system was on. Motion sensors did not trip. Doors still locked in the morning. The only thing they found were two small holes drilled in the skylight. Lobby surveillance tapes were being studied. A new cleaning crew had been hired, but the superintendent didn't know anything about it. March watched blurry surveillance photos of a cleaning crew moving through the lobby. He saw a tall man in a painter's cap who looked vaguely familiar, and a shorter fellow with a backpack vacuum who kept his face down and away from the camera. He rubbed his knuckles against his lip. Every sensor in March's brain lit up. It wasn't a he. It was Jules.